Enter, if you dare.
Once again to Dark Discussion, your place for discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I'm one of your co-hosts, Phil, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
How are you?
I am very happy, Phil, that we are opening up movie theaters in New York State tomorrow.
Okay, very good. And the Commonwealth of Massachusetts?
Hey, everyone, this is Dave here.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right. It's been a busy week.
Excellent. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hello, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you?
Good.
Excellent. For folks who stumbled upon us, we are Dark Discussions Podcast, which is part of the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. It is an all-news network that discusses all things genre. So release notices, columns, reviews, on all sorts of things like horror films, science fiction, and whatnot. Basically, it is updated daily. There's over 30 podcasts on the network, so it should be a website that you should come to daily to check out the news. Who we are as a podcast, we discuss horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, cult films, drive-in films, and whatnot. So basically, we try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. You can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com, and we will read your email on the podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook Group. Also, Eric, what else can people find on darkdiscussions.com?
Well, on every page, they can find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that allows you to financially contribute to your online artists like us. Producing this show is not free. We have to pay things like server hosting and website hosting and movie rentals and computer equipment and so on and so forth. So if you'd like to help offset the cost of producing this show, Patreon is how you can do that. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. And for every $5 a month that you care to contribute, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do a show on. We take all the submissions from our patrons and draw one at random on a quarterly basis. So if that's something you're interested in doing, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
All right, very well. Now, for folks who are curious, we do have one email. This is from John Appleby. John Appleby is one of our friends from the other side of the pond in the UK. He is a contributor both on Facebook and Dark Discussions. He says, "Hey, folks, just listening to the latest podcast about the Giant. Man, you lot effing crack me up. Phil, is this film worse than the Stan TV series? A Serbian film uncut edition? Please, God, no Dirty Dancing with the Child. Please put Baby in the Corner.
Oh, God, no, please
sakes.
Don't.
Great work." So... very good. Thank you, John. Yeah, it was actually a pretty good episode when I was editing it. The discussion was actually pretty solid, even though...
we all hated the movie.
Yeah.
and please don't encourage us, because we don't actually want to turn into one of those podcasts that just bashes films, no matter how much they might deserve it.
Yep. The pain. The pain's still there.
What was the episode where Phil was drinking absinthe?
Jerusalem.
Oh, right, Jerusalem.
Yeah, with the Z. Yep, that was a good
that was another crazy show.
Yeah, that was a good flick, and that was a good show. Yep. So we have some good podcasts in the can that people can go and search out. The Giant was the most popular podcast of the week on the Dark Discussions Network.
Hopefully we successfully warned at least one person away from the movie.
Indeed. Whatever floats people's boats. Some people thought The Gallows was good. So a lot of people think that Evil Dead remake is good. So it depends on your opinions. And
what madman would like think the Gallows is good?
There's you pick any shitty movie out there, and there's somebody that's their favorite film, and I mean that in a not guilty pleasure sort of way.
Everybody's got a mom.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So yeah. So folks are interested in sending us Patreon money, we will accept it. It's expensive to keep up the website, especially now that there may have to be another upgrade to the site due to
volume is good, but paying money is bad.
Exactly. All right, so that's pretty much that. I guess we can probably get into our topic tonight. If there's any news or whatnot afterwards, we'll discuss what we've been watching and so forth. We have time after we discuss our topic tonight. And Eric, what is our topic tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be talking about the 2021 reboot of Wrong Turn.
Do you know what we wouldn't have found if we would have stayed on the trail? The waterfall. The cliff. What is that?
Story people know but don't talk about. Except in whispers, like a ghost story.
Sweet land of liberty.
We don't bother them. And they don't bother us.
Of the ice.
But anyone who goes up there.
What is this place?
They don't come back. It's happened before.
Descendants of these people are still living up there on the mountain?
They said they would be the foundation on which a new nation would be built.
That's right. Wrong Turn is, as Eric mentioned, a 2021 reboot. There is one person that is still with the franchise. The original writer, Alan B. McElroy, is back, and he wrote this as well. So he's basically rebooting his very first film. The director is Mike P. Nelson. The cast is mostly unknowns, though it does have Matthew Modine, a couple of fairly well-known character actors, people that you go, oh, I know that guy, but you don't know his name. And then Charlotte Vega, a Spanish and British actress, is the lead. It came out early February, I think. Or mid-February, something like that. Maybe even January at the quote-unquote theaters.
Yeah, this was a weird release. Initially, it had like a midnight showing on a Friday in January, I think. And then It was gone, and then it was in theaters for like 2 weeks, and then it was gone from theaters, and now you can rent it digitally.
That's right. The film is getting mixed reviews. Audiences are giving it middle 40%. Major critics are giving it around middle 40%, and then when you add not as important critics into the mix, it goes up to around 60%, I think. So it's basically a mixed review and whatnot.
The reviews I read on don't ask me why I read them today, because I think I was just looking for more information about the film. And these were from the people. The biggest complaint, well, there were two of them. One is that this is not a Wrong Turn movie, and they rated it on the fact that it is not a Wrong Turn movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand the sentiment.
Well, if they're going to name it Wrong Turn, then there you go.
Yeah. I can understand the sentiment. I also think that's a shitty reason to give the movie a shitty review. And the other thing was from people who clearly didn't watch the movie past, and some admitted they didn't watch past the first, like, 15 minutes, because it's more woke hipster bullshit is basically what they said. And I think they were missing some of the point, or I think what I took away as kind of the point of the film. But anyway,
I think you could be right there, Mike. We'll get into all that later. It could be similar to Green Inferno, which is mm-hmm. it's actually a different film than what some people may think.
People seeing it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But before we do get into that, it's just recently become available on VOD rental everywhere within the past week. So if folks who are interested, they can see it wherever you rent video on demand. And I believe, Barrett, you said you actually bought a Blu-ray of it already?
Yeah, I got it last Monday. Yep.
Okay, so it's available on Meteor as well.
Is that does that Blu-ray have any features?
You know, I haven't had time to check. I have the box here. I'm wondering where I put it.
Because it was only $9.99 for me on Vudu.
It did come with a digital version, which is nice because a lot of horror movies don't. So that was kind of nice. I can't find it right now. I'll let you know when I do. But yeah, I don't think it had a lot of extras, but.
Well, Mike, what was that company that used to give the digital all the time, and now they went out of business? Used to be owned by Walmart. What the heck was it? You know what I'm talking about? You could buy the disc.
About Ultraviolet?
Ultraviolet, yeah. So they used to, all the horror movies used to come with that back in the day, it seemed.
Yeah, most of them don't. Now they just switch to Movies Anywhere.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
If you're buying the really special edition stuff, you don't often get horror movie with the digital.
That's boutique label. You don't get it with boutique
label. I actually purchased this digitally through Apple. I don't know if this is an Apple exclusive or not, but my version did come with a director's commentary.
Oh, cool.
It's too bad it didn't come with a screenwriter's commentary, because I would be more interested to hear him, because he's the real creator of the franchise. But still,
that would be interesting. I'll give you that.
Yeah. But a director's commentary is still good either way. All right. So I guess we can go around and discuss how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So let's start with you, Mike.
I don't remember. It's just one of those things that, hey, look, guess what? They're restarting again. You know, and there've already been 6 Wrong Turn films, and it's a reboot. It's like every other day we get a new. They're rebooting, remaking, re-whatevering this thing, and now we've got a sequel coming to, I think, Face Off. So it's just one of. But there's been so many of these, it was like not worth noting. It's not like they did a new version of The Blob or The Thing or The Fly or something that we haven't seen a film of in a while. You know, there's been so many Wrong Turn movies. Who pays attention to it? You know, it's sort of like
there's now so many reboots or remakes of horror films anyway that people don't even know they came out. You know, so
right? Yeah, Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, Jacob's Ladder was
terrible. And Flatliners disappeared real fast too.
Oh, Martyrs. That was like, oh, that one was terrible. Yeah, so yeah,
and it apparently goes on. There was also an American remake of Inside.
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, exactly. So they're all over the place. But anyway, continue, Mike. We're sorry for.
Yes. So, I'm just sorry. It's missing from my list. Anyway, so that's how I'd heard about it. And then I didn't realize it was ready to come out. And then I saw some reviews about for it a couple of weeks ago. And it's so I knew it was circling, but I didn't. Sorry, I didn't see actually the reviews. I didn't read the reviews. I saw comments that, you know, there were reviews out. And I've liked the franchise. I've only seen 3 of the 6, I think. And I actually think the first two were fun films. And I actually, the other one I saw was, I think, when it was the 4th or 5th. Whichever the one with Doug Bradley was in, because I watched that for interviewing him at a panel. And I thought he was fun in it, but you could certainly see there's a lot of stupid in the writing, too. So I like this film. It is different. I understand. I understand why they used the name Wrong Turn. I understand why the writer used the name Wrong Turn. I understand why the studio used the name Wrong Turn. And I think in the very, very broadest strokes, you can kind of sort of maybe put this under the Wrong Turn category, because it is a mountain man story, killing people who venture where they shouldn't have. On the other hand, unless I'm mistaken, they didn't actually like make a wrong turn anywhere. I think they just went there where they wanted. And so just the name seems like an odd fit. I think it would have worked just as well as its own thing. But, be that as it may, a lot of generic stuff. There was a couple of really stupid things for me, or annoying things, but there were also a couple of really good moments that I liked, and things that got under my skin that made it stand out from what could have otherwise been sort of a generic horror film. So I'm going to give it a thumbs up, not a massive thumbs up, but I'll say I liked it.
All right, sounds good. Abe?
So I kind of cut with this, probably browsed around and, you know, seeing what films were coming out for this year. I only seen the first Wrong Turn. I never saw any of its sequels. So, you know, I kind of got the gist of what the original was. You know, Hillbilly Cannibals and whatnot. And, but I did also see, so but I saw reviews beforehand, you know, saying, you know, it wasn't really Wrong Turn in terms of, you know, the general idea of the original. But also knowing that the original writer was, you know, part of this project, I was like, okay, well, this should be interesting to see how he reinterpreted his creation, his story. And overall, I am up and down with this film. I think the performances were really strong. There was a couple of pretty good kills. And, you know, I was kind of interested where it was going, so I didn't check out much at all when watching the movie. That being said, I felt the characters were very undercooked. You know, a lot of them were seriously lacking development, anything, and especially in terms of the world building for this colony, this group of cultists, this foundation, as it's called. There were so many things I wish they could explore just to kind of flesh it out more. And I wouldn't say, you know, it wasn't a boring film. It just wasn't anything that was that spectacular or I would find myself having any reason to revisit. I do think there's some really good ideas here, some things that do really well, aside from what I had mentioned beforehand. But overall, it's an experience that is, while pretty decent, I wouldn't call it a top 10 or 20 film, unless everything else coming this year is a bust. I don't see it placing very high. But overall, not a bad experience.
Well, all right. Abe, we know that the first 5 spots on the top 10 list will be taken up by Godzilla versus Kong.
Probably. Oh. Unless that's a complete bust.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Abe. All right. So, yeah, for me, I heard about this. I think I just heard about it in January when a couple of people were beginning to do podcasts on it, because I guess folks were getting screeners for it. I had no idea they were even remaking it, to be honest. I may have heard something in the past that this was being remade or a 7th was coming out. But again, you know, you hear that about pretty much every horror film that is of note. So, but then it just popped out. And so, yeah, I watched it last night. I'm kind of with Abe. I wasn't a big fan of this film. I think the problem is that the characters are so annoyingly terrible that it was hard to like any of them. And usually I try to at least like the characters in a film, and I just couldn't get behind any character in this film. So immediately I was like, already had the wind knocked out of me in a sense. And I was like, ugh. And then there was a lot of stuff that was happening in the first 30 to 40 minutes that were kind of generic horror stuff. And then the film takes a left turn and is completely different. And just, I felt unbelievable in what was presented with what Abe said with the foundation and whatnot. So I was not a big fan of this film. I have the 6 films on Blu-ray, and I've seen 2 to 3 of them. And all of them I've enjoyed for what they were. I mean, they're mostly midnight movies, and kind of throwback, to 70s and 80s stuff. So I've always liked them, but for some reason, I don't know. This one just didn't work for me. The characters were just awful, and the story was kind of slow and boring at the second half. And then I guess there was a big time gap, but I really couldn't tell. So I'm assuming it was because we get the superhero character eventually, and it's like the only way that person could become a superhero character is if there was like months and months of them training or something, and we didn't see that happen. So I don't know, but either way, it's a throwaway. I won't be revisiting it probably. Let's go with you, Eric.
I don't remember where I first heard about this, but it sounds like I'm going to be the highest on this movie. I really enjoyed it. Not saying it's perfect. I had some issues, particularly with the ending. That was no bueno. But overall, I really enjoyed this. I liked the different premise, unlike a lot of people who were just looking for a regurgitation of the same thing. I liked the fact that it was different, and I really enjoyed the premise. It just worked for me. So, yeah, I enjoyed this film. It is at the top of my list for 2021 right now. It's only March, so it'll probably get knocked off. But, yeah, it's there right now.
All right, sounds good. Bert?
First, I found my Blu-ray edition, and it does have deleted and extended scenes and a making of, as well as the commentary.
Nice.
Yeah. So I liked this movie probably almost as much as Eric. I do agree with Phil. The characters were unlikable, and that was probably the biggest downfall, because I didn't really care about them. By the time they got into trouble, they should have been in trouble, and it was mostly all their own fault. And I guess the wrong turn they took was they went off the beaten trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. It was trying to be a little more less campy, I guess, than the original ones. I liked the storyline a little better than the original ones. And some of the kills and stuff were kind of neat. I liked. But it was fairly enjoyable. There, you know, it's not perfect for sure. And right now, there's not a lot out there, so it's pretty high on my list. But it will likely change.
All right, sounds good. I've only seen 2 films maybe this year when I think about it. This just hasn't been anything for me. I mean, I just haven't seen anything yet. So hopefully, like you said, Eric, you said, and you, Barrett, said, there's a lot more coming out. So fingers crossed.
It's only March. We still, it's usually a lot more films pop up like mid-year towards the fall.
Well, apparently they'd like to release 50 in December for whatever reason.
Yeah, right. And it's not like they're all any of them are going to be Academy Award nominated, so why don't they just release them whenever? All right, so that's our thoughts. Seems like we're kind of sort of like everybody in the real world.
I will say, Barrett, indifferent towards the cast, not the cast, or the characters, would for me probably be a step up. I had no idea who to root for in this, but I was able to appreciate other aspects of it. Eric, I will say this is at the top of my list for 2021 films, but that's because this is number two, and I like this better than Red Dot. So
it's Mark. What have you guys been doing? I got 13 movies on my list.
How many movies?
How many, Eric?
13 horror movies.
Wow. I'm right there with you, Mike. I've seen.
To be fair, most of them have been crap, but I've watched them.
Well, that's problem one, and I'm also been catching up on things like Spontaneous and Freaky and things that came out last year that I missed.
That are now becoming available to rent. Yeah.
Right, Promising Young Woman, I'm sure will be up soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see Greenland. That's now rental release. It's not the $20 anymore. It's the $5.99 or something. So I see what you're saying, Mike. That's a fair point. All right, so Eric, do we got a wiki for this?
Wiki. Friends hiking the Appalachian Trail are confronted by the Foundation, a community of people who have lived in the mountains for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I don't like that because I went in blind, so I didn't know what was going on.
It's a wrong turn move.
Friends That's... might be a strong term for those people because they kind of give each other up pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's true. I see what you're saying, Mike. You figure it was going to have the hillbilly mutants.
Isn't it better to know up front that you're not?
Because
then you're actually... See, here's the thing. Let's talk about this for a minute, because I have a feeling a lot of people's negative feelings towards this movie are because of its title, not because of its content.
I agree. Yeah. That's what I said. I said that's what a lot of the reviews were.
Yeah. If they had called this movie The Foundation, I think it would have been received a lot better.
Probably.
Well, and actually, but also, I'm sorry. Are you trying to imply that you can't have a civilization of inbred mutant hillbillies?
I would say this though, Eric, is that he's doing bad jokes like I did bad jokes.
No, well, I'm saying it's like there's nothing in that says that there aren't like the things that we saw in previous. It just implies that it's something like a bigger congregation of them. We certainly got that like with something like The Hills Have Eyes, depending on how
people under the earth that they're storing there could have become the mutants.
And that's another thing. They are cannibals. We did see some cannibalism.
That's true. I guess I see your point, Eric. Though if I had seen this, whether wrong term or name something else, I would have still felt kind of disappointed with it. But you're probably right. A lot of people who are...
I understand you have particular issues that are different, but I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, let's be honest. Who are the people who are going to be watching this movie and reviewing it this soon online that are not paid film critics? It's going to be people who are... fans of the franchise,
exactly.
The diehards, right? There's going to be a disproportionate number of people who really love the franchise. I like the franchise. I enjoy the franchise. I don't think I could say I'm a fan of the franchise, though. Right? I mean, I can't tell you like any of the characters. You know, I kind of know two of the three main mutants. I've only seen half the films. Well, now I've seen four-sevenths of the films. But it's not something near and dear to my heart. If I never watched a Wrong Turn movie again, you know, it wouldn't kill me. I wouldn't feel sad about it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So Eric's point is fair, which is a lot of people went in here saying, oh, as you did too, Mike, this is going to be awesome. Another Wrong Turn. I love this franchise. And then when they saw it, they go, this
from
is
the original writer.
Right, from the original writer.
Because as you all know, the original Wrong Turn won all sorts of awards for its original script.
but that's not the point. The point was is that the whatever made the first film that this guy wrote, it was a big hit as a cult film.
It was good enough to spin off five more movies.
Yeah. Right. And it actually did pretty damn good at theaters, too.
Belongs in a different class than the sequels, because I think that was just a solid horror movie.
Yeah, right. You could just take that as a standalone and say that's a pretty solid horror film. I mean, not anything original, as you're saying, Mike, that's fair. But a really solid horror film, for sure.
Right, and I'm not trying to bash the guy's screenwriting. I enjoyed Wrong Turn. I think that was my birthday movie that year that it came out was like 2001 or 2002.
Old.
Wow, now I feel old.
Yeah, it's old. It is getting old enough to. But I mean, if this is an installment that went it took a different turn than the rest of the series. And again, I don't think that's an issue. I think if you go in with a clean slate and throw all that rest of it away. 2003.
Well, let's ask this question. Why call it Wrong Turn except to trick people to watch it?
That's exactly why.
Well, that's yeah. why that's why did he Well, let's go back.
It's brand Make recognition. It's brand recognition. It's a title that people will recognize and be like, "Oh." And they'll go right to it. It's like some of those movies that have come out recently that are supposed to be sequels but they share the title of the original.
Yeah,
the most recent Halloween film is just called Halloween.
Right, but at least it fits in the franchise.
Yeah, right? But at the same time, it's one of those confusing moments. Like, where now we have three Halloween movies with the same title.
No, I agree with you, but my point and your point is valid. But the point was why call it a Wrong Turn film. And I think we all agreed was because it's a name recognition and
marketing. Absolutely.
And marketing. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
right.
Go ahead.
Well, and it's marketing from the writer as well, because the writer, I mean, he did two episodes of Star Trek Discovery. He did a couple of TV series, some Vampire Diaries. You know, he hasn't really had a movie in a while. Well, what's a way to get the movie? Let me take this idea I have. How can I get this idea sold? It's not really. Let me just throw the Wrong Turn label on it, and they'll be more likely to buy it. You know,
or some producer said, "Hey, let's get the original writer. Tell him to write a film, and then say a new Wrong Turn film by the original creator."
Right. It is all marketing from beginning to end. It's how these people sell their films to the studios. And how they pitch them to the studios, it's how the studios pitch them to the audience. And the truth is, we are covering this film. The truth is, people got screeners for this film and reviewed it online. And a lot of that would not have been happening if it just came out as The Foundation. Right?
Right.
So it worked.
Right.
Now, it may have backfired among certain fans, but you know what? Most of them paid to watch it, didn't they?
Yeah, the critics don't care. I mean, not the critics. The producers don't care.
Right.
They just wanted people to watch it.
Yeah. So, look, I agree. I think with every movie, you know, there was talk about people bitching online a week ago or 2 weeks ago about remaking Train to Busan. And I understand the confusion about why they're doing it. Judge the movie when it comes out. Judge it on its merits. That's all you can do. You know, it's not our money to waste on it. If you don't want to watch it, don't want to watch it. We're not paying to make it. But
yep.
Give them a chance to do their thing.
Yep.
And we can all certainly think of movies that were remade like The Thing that people didn't give a fair chance because it dared tread on sacred ground. Not that I think Wrong Turn is sacred ground.
On which film, Mike? The Thing.
Like The Thing.
Oh, but that was a bad film, though.
No, it wasn't. The Thing. John.
You
Carpenter.
Two are talking about two different things. Move on.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. But I don't think that's the reason why. I think you're completely wrong. I think it got bad reviews from critics who said it was gross because that was the anti-horror time period. So I think it was. I don't think
we're
it was
talking about Wrong Turn.
Yeah. That's fine. All right. So, let's talk about Wrong Turn. What's anything else we want to talk about before we throw up the spoilers? Is there anything about I mean, this actually was Virginia instead of West Virginia. Wasn't it West Virginia in the original, Eric?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, but they switched it to Virginia for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if they had taken the left turn on the trail, they would have gone to West Virginia, and then it would have been an actual wrong turn movie. But they made took the North Trail, and so that took them up to the Foundation.
Right. Well, that, I think that's another good thing that I'm glad he didn't use West Virginia, because once you knew it was Virginia, it's like, okay, it's not going to be the same hillbillies, you know. But again, at this point, it doesn't matter because
mm-hmm.
people have already made their decision based off of this ain't wrong turn. What hell? Goddamn.
No, I'll just say that I thought the acting was generally good in this movie. I enjoyed the soundtrack. And some of the effects were really awesome too.
Yeah.
There were some great cringe moments. And I understand what everybody's saying about the characters and the plot. It just didn't bother me as much as everybody else.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. So, so to just set it up, yes, we have a bunch of, 20 something year olds, six of them, that decided to do a hike through the Appalachian Trails. And one of them, they're all different professions, so they're out of college. And one of them, his father, and her must have had some sort of – it was weird because they didn't really explain it well enough. They didn't really have a falling out. It was – I felt it was more like she's just a 20-something-year-old, just doesn't want to –
she's trying to find herself, her own independence.
She had been an art major and a dance major and was selling coffee, and her dad was offering her a job, and she hadn't she hadn't gotten back to him on the job offer. He was coming because they mentioned, you said time had passed, it had been 6 weeks since he had heard about her.
Right,
that's how it starts. We don't meet the friends yet.
Right,
it starts with him, with Matthew Modine looking for Jennifer, his daughter, and then it transitions to 6 weeks earlier.
6 weeks earlier. Yeah.
And we meet her and all of her douchey friends.
Right.
And I laughed because this felt like I couldn't tell if this was a parody or if this was sincere, the assortment of people in the car on this trip. It felt like, by which I mean this, they felt like they went through a diversity checkbox. It's like if they were making fun of diversity casting in movies, I don't think they could have come up with a more, you know, an easy representation of this. So I don't know if they were being tongue in cheek about it. I do think they were, based on where this goes in a little bit. It was just so on the nose in that you have the one white guy who's a douchey asshole. You have two white women,
but he's what we call a white progressive.
He's an asshole.
He's an alpha male shithead.
Yeah, he is.
I'd label him progressive.
And then
just because he kept on insulting all the locals as
that doesn't make him a progressive.
he was the tip. I just looked at him as one of those get out white people. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
Then you have the black male who makes sure to wear all black owned T-shirts or black, you know, maybe to just project that, you know, getting that statement.
That's
up.
That's what he was wearing. I was trying to read what the hell is that?
And
black owned, gotcha.
Right, and then you have your homosexual couple of. Two non-white males of uncertain ethnic origin. For me, I wasn't sure where they were.
My guess is one was either Indian Muslim or Pakistani Muslim or Bangladesh Muslim, and then the other one I thought he was Indian too, but or subcontinent Asia, but undefined because they don't say what his heritage is at all.
Yeah, and you know,
but then it was a white girl too, right?
Yes, but she was also one of those very
I guess.
Yeah, the doctor. Yeah, the doctor, but she also was this very nerdy, non-traditional Hollywood pretty lady. And then, of course, you have the...
She's really good looking, but they put make her wear glasses to make her look like she's a librarian.
And kind of, exactly. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I kept wondering, you know, I was wondering the same thing, too, if this was supposed to be parody or not, because... the two gay guys, outside of them, their relationship, there's nothing to them.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, they have no development. They have no characterization at all. The first one.
Right. Well, the only time we learn any characterization about them is when one's dead.
Say, exactly. Exactly. I was going to say that. But the religion.
We don't know anything about them.
You almost kind of miss them. They're almost in the background the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. And the first guy to go, he barely has any lines. In fact, he barely says anything before his head is turned into a pancake.
That's true. But Mike's point is, yeah, I see what you're saying, Mike, that I guess, what was it? A diversity checklist, you said, Mike?
Right. Like, if you were making fun of that, you couldn't have done a better job of it. I do think the part of this is that they are judging other groups and judging other people is a part of this, is a big theme in this film.
Yeah.
And I think they deliberately set it up to make it a contrast, and they just turn the contrast up to 11 between that and the rural Virginia town.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a screenwriting shortcut to be able to set up conflict without character development.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
But they wanted you to judge it, but I think part of it is they wanted, and I think maybe I'm giving them too much credit to the screenwriter. I think they wanted, and the filmmakers, but I think they wanted you to jump to these kind of conclusions about these characters, because I think they wanted you to make these assumptions. And I think that is also one of the ways they use the title Wrong Turn to their advantage, you know, and that they are trying to weirdly subvert expectations, although also there are times where they really lean into the expectations, right? So they're trying to show these characters are more than the stereotypes while also kind of leaning into the stereotypes.
Well, and what's kind of odd about the whole thing too is that the reason there was a conflict was specifically because the white guy, right? Because he's the one that started the whole
Well, you mean conflict with the people on the mountain or the people in the town?
With the people in the town. Because in the town, oddly, they try to portray them through the perspective of these six new characters that came to the town. And they try to portray the locals as hillbilly rednecks, basically. And only because they say so, not because of anything they do. And then when the conflict happens, it's because the white guy plays up those conflicts by insulting the locals.
Well, but what was the insult? Do you remember?
Yeah, he said something under his breath.
Under his breath.
And then he turned around and he goes, what did you say?
Yeah, and do you remember what
he said? Your dilapidated car and...
Because you're going to have a pickup truck and his moonshine. And and let me ask you, do you remember the last time we saw that character in the film?
Yes.
Where was he?
In his pickup truck.
Drinking?
Moonshine.
Drinking moonshine. Right. So...
to try to make it on point.
But they also save them too, right? So
right. So like I said, on the one hand, they lean into it. They lean into the stereotype. And on the other hand, they're also trying to subvert the stereotype. You know? So yeah, it's a weird thing. This is why I don't know I don't necessarily know what the film is trying to say. And I don't know if it's because the film is confused about it or if the film is just sort of throwing things out there and letting you mull this stuff over, because let's be honest, there is a reason why the pickup truck and moonshine stereotype exists. There is a reason why the douchebag
Joe Bob Briggs talked to
millennials exist, right? What did they call them again?
The millennials, yeah, that's right.
Hipsters,
hipsters. Thank you. right? The douchebag hipster stereotype exists because some of it really, there is a basis for that. So they don't dispense with it completely, but they do give you, I think, more parts to it. And the idea that for a wrong turn film, to have these guys be the assholes, and I think we're all pretty clear that, as a, at least as a collective group, and certainly, what's his name again? Adam. Adam in particular, your first man, is the prime asshole.
Yes.
The others are just kind of along for the ride. But
well, and you really, it's kind of different too, because you have three factions in this movie. You know, usually you expect the townspeople work with the bad guys
right.
in a lot of different horror movies, but in this case, they're their own faction.
Right, and again, that's subverting the trope. They're either going to work with them, or they are the evil in the woods that they know not to cross.
Right? Exactly.
That we don't speak of them, and they defer to them, even if they don't work with them.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, I mean, we're calling them three different factions, but there's the civilized faction and the uncivilized faction, because technically, the hipsters and the locals are on the civilized faction, even if some of the hipsters look down at the locals, because the locals don't have anything bad to say about the hipsters until the hipsters be dinks to them.
Well, but then there's the question of what is the civilization?
Right, that's a fair point, too.
Right, what is civilized? That's the whole speech that What's-His-Face gives.
Yeah. Yep.
Venable.
Yeah, right. That's right, Venable, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
You know, and there's and I think there are no easy answers. I don't think there's an easy solution here. I think part of that, though, is that in order to get to this, I think actually the most likable character isn't even likable until the end of the film. And by there's nobody to root for.
Well, Matthew Modine's character's fine. And
all right.
And I had no issues with the guy with the gondous eyes. He was I liked him right from the beginning, because he didn't do anything wrong. He just offered some help, and then the Adam was a dink, and then that's when he got pissed, you know. So, and I didn't really have any issues with any of the locals, to be honest. I mean, they all seem fine. I mean, I see those people all the time, 15 miles from my house, if I want to go to some local towns, and they're all fine to me. So,
well, the woman actually helps Matthew Modine's character. I mean,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but these are mostly characters that are absent for the first hour of the film.
Right, so, right.
So, if I'm rooting for Jen, I'm rooting for Jen, because by that point, the story has sort of shifted to Matthew Modine's character, to Dad's character. And I'm more rooting for him to get his daughter than I am rooting for her.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, when I was watching it, and the way it kind of shifted so awkwardly, in my opinion, I felt like they were trying to fit in two different kinds of stories. You have the kids trying to survive the crazy cultists, and then you have a different story where the father's trying to find his daughter, and it feels like, I don't know, it feels like if they chose one angle to focus on, things could be fleshed a little better, because it felt disjointed, and as I said, things were just not as developed as they should be.
Well, that's what was good about the first film, was we just have the focus on the kids the whole time, and generally the kids, there was a couple of that, but were you know, you didn't like. But generally, the kids in the first film, I didn't have any issues with most of them. The problem with this film here is that the kids were a lot of the lousy slasher films from the 70s and 80s, that all the characters were just terrible and despicable, and that's what these characters were like. And so it reminded me more of one of those crappy B-movies from the 70s and 80s rather than anything else. But I agree with you, Abe. The best part of the film was the first 40 minutes of the film, when we're watching the kids having the terror in the forest, right? I mean,
I would say they're despicable. Now, Adam is not likable at all, but the rest don't really have personalities.
No.
That's my problem with it, is that they don't have a huge presence. Whereas Adam, he's just a dick, and he's even a dick to his own girlfriend. So,
that's a fair point.
But well, hold on. I will say Mila has something of a personality. Now, this is a nitpick, but I think one of the minor gripes I have with this, and is that at the beginning of the film, she's sitting in the car with her feet hanging out the window, which, by the way, always just gives me the creeps because I'm waiting for somebody to come by and knock the
take
feet
off.
Leg gone.
But you see she's got a tattoo on her feet that say "fuck cancer."
Oh, I missed that.
I did not.
You're gonna miss
that,
it because
actually.
They chose like the worst font possible to write "fuck cancer" in.
Okay.
Because and then she mentions later how her dad taught her to use a tampon because single parents. So between those two things, you know that she's someone whose mom died of cancer. And all of that really informs absolutely nothing that happens with her later in the film.
Right. Yeah. And I forgot both those things. I didn't even see the tattoo and the tampon comment. I completely forgot. So obviously they didn't do what I could have.
Yeah, I do remember those things. I did miss the tattoo. But yeah, you know, she also has a very turbulent relationship with Adam where they're supposed to be getting married, but you can see how lacking in dedication and trust they have with one another. As Adam has, you know, they have a tendency to get separated from each other and they kind of break off when things get bad. Especially with Adam, who abandons her twice.
Well, what's
the second time, really? I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. First time.
This is how I look at it. Okay. So the two Indian, or let me rephrase, the two Asian guys, because we don't know their true ethnicity, and they could be just Americans of Asian descent, they were fine. They didn't say anything bad, and they didn't do anything good. They just were like Abe said. They didn't even exist except for the two first characters. You know that were going to get killed. Then
because they were redundant, because there were two of them,
right?
Two then, Asian homosexual men,
right? Right.
You
exactly.
don't need two of them. You know, there was nothing to distinguish.
Actually, Louise lives pretty long, almost to the very end.
Yeah.
And then Adam, he was a dink. We all know that right from the beginning. His girlfriend, I mean. Yeah, she was fine, but anybody who dates him is suspect, in my opinion, so I hated her right off the bat because she's dating Adam.
He probably just had a big dick.
Boy.
Okay.
That's mean.
No, I'm always – dude, anytime I see anybody date an asshole, whether it's a guy dating a girl or vice versa, they're suspect, in my opinion.
Phil judges everybody.
You're damn right, especially in films. And then Jen's boyfriend, Darius, I forget what his name is.
Darius.
Yeah. I mean, he was just, I don't know. I just didn't like him. And then I didn't really like her either. And so, yeah. I mean,
I didn't
know,
at the beginning, but I got to like her by the end of the movie.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes. I kind of.
There was a turning point.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what.
But I see your point, though, Barrett, which is really, I guess, I mean, Adam was a prick. The others, I guess, were, I mean, they're all right.
They're kind of like non-entities to me. Yeah, I didn't get to like Jen until the end because you start to learn, you know, her making her deal and everything. She becomes more of a person at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, they're just your typical average college age kids.
Yeah.
I just thought she could have spoke up about three minutes earlier, don't you think?
Yeah. I do, yeah.
Holy shit.
Poor Louise, yeah.
Oh my God. And by the way, that is something I will give the film credit for, is that thing when we get to it. Because that's a thing that if anything sticks with me from this film, it is that.
Sure. but I mean, I don't know. It's just,
the darkness.
Yeah. I would have gladly watched The Dark and The Wicked or Super Dark Times again within this film. I'll tell you that. But anyway, all right, so we'll throw up the spoiler alert, and I guess we'll talk about everything and anything then, I guess.
Okay.
All right, so people go VOD it wherever, and by the time they listen to this, hopefully they've watched it. If not, no big deal. We're going to spoil it because we do critique and review on this podcast, not just review. All right, so we can just continue the conversation because generally we were...
All right, so why were they – this is a thing that I missed. I understood they're going out to find themselves or whatever in the woods to get away from it all. on the Appalachian Trail, are you know, arguably the most famous hiking trail or one of in the world, certainly I think in North America. And apparently like a you know, a 10-minute walk off this, there's a civilization of inbred hillbillies that
no,
nobody's
it was
ever
2 hours.
Yet.
I'll give them credit. At least they said we've walked for 2 hours. Where the hell are we? Okay. So but again, that could be two hours. You're right, Mike. So
yes.
You have 10 miles off of the trail. You're absolutely right. Good point. Never mind.
So, yeah, whatever. I mean, look, I'm not going to bash the premise of the film, and there's a lot of logic skipping you've got to do in order to accept the existence of the Foundation and its persistence, I think, especially in the United States. But be that as it may, why were they going? Why did they take that turn with?
Because they wanted to go see an old Civil War fort.
Yeah, Civil War. Yeah.
Fort.
Okay. Yeah. So all right, that I missed.
At least that's what he claimed. The kid claimed.
Yeah,
they didn't point it on a map or nothing. He goes, yeah, there's a Civil War fort right over here.
Was he a Civil War historian? Was there a thing that made this so important to this character?
That was the weird thing.
Yeah,
they didn't mention it earlier in the film, and out of the blue, when they're walking, he goes, there's a fort right over here. Let's go look at it.
Yeah, that was a little convenient.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. It's random. Where it, you know, for example, in a good Lost in the Woods film like The Ritual, we have a case where the characters are already, you know, either element to the guys who are out of practice and hiking, and one of them gets injured and they're trying to find a shortcut to get out of the woods so he can get fixed up. So we have a believable and understandable reason why they would make this sudden decision. In this case here, it's out of nowhere because we have no real development or any hint of this beforehand. We just need an excuse to get them off the trail.
Right. Right.
I think it's in line with the character that they would be foolish and cocky enough to be like, oh yeah, we'll just go off the trail for a little bit, then find our way right back. Yeah, probably not.
Well, it's not that I have a problem with them going off the trail to see a thing. I just, we don't have enough of a personality established for these guys to say why he wanted to go see the Civil War fort. I mean, they emphasize the Civil War. What's that?
Is it that important?
Oh, not necessarily that important.
I think that's a good enough a reason. Oh,
it's well, it happened. It's what? Well, why does it happen? It happens so that the story can happen.
But the problem was, I think, if you want to call it a problem, because Eric does have a fair point, which is, if you do want to call it a problem, it is that it came out of left field, like Abe said, when they should have set it up earlier. Like, yeah, we'll do the Appalachian Trail. Maybe we'll do a couple stops. I know there's a waterfall.
Yeah,
here.
They could have set something at the table in the bar.
Something
exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. 30 seconds.
And that would have solved the problem, I think.
Yeah.
But again, though, I think the writer, for some reason, wanted to have Darius, or whatever his name is, surprise everybody and say, all right, let's go. Because his girlfriend goes, what do you mean? We can't leave the trail. And everybody else goes, you really want to do that? I didn't even know. So I think it was a plot convenience also, not just to get him off the trail, but also to shock all his friends. But why the screenwriter wanted to have his friends be shocked.
Yeah, this is a little weird.
That makes no sense, yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, and it's also just the another thing that felt really strange was with the innkeeper, who was so vague in terms of telling him to stay on the trail. Yet she was willing to give an entire backstory of the Foundation to the father. Keep him out of danger.
Well, at that point, there were people missing.
Yeah, but people keep missing all the time.
But not only were they missing, but he was going to go look for them. I think that was the big issue.
Still, she could have been like, you know, there's some dangerous people in the woods. You should be careful and stay on the trail or something like that. You don't have to go through the whole backstory, but considering how often this happens, and the fact there are actually people in the town who will beat you up to keep you away from there, You would think that she might give a little more detail.
Also, I didn't like the beginning scene. I mean, again, this may just be factual. Maybe the cops are just incompetent asses. But at that point, I mean, a lot of films that I see when someone's lost and for a certain period of time, they get the whole townsfolk, and you see hundreds of townsfolk go through the woods, making sure they could stumble on a body. And they didn't do that. They go, no, there's no problem. Which is
so, my impression is that this is something that's been kind of an unspoken arrangement between the town and the foundation for a long, long time, which is that the foundation stays in the woods and keeps to themselves, and doesn't do anything to anybody as long as they're left alone. And then as soon as somebody comes onto their territory, they're fair game. So yeah. I think the innkeeper just said, you know, give them, honestly, good advice. Stay on the marked trail, because if you go out in the wilderness, you could get yourself in trouble. It's true.
Always
whether there's
advice.
The foundation around or not.
Yeah.
But you know
hoping
what?
Hoping that they would just stay on the trail and everything would be fine.
Again,
but that didn't
just
happen.
Again, this is just a silly horror film, so obviously maybe we're overthinking it. But there's a couple of things. Is like you're going to have townspeople that – I mean people who move into the town that aren't locals. And that would just be make it ask a lot of questions. And then also with all the people disappearing, especially if this is a traveled route, as Mike said, one of the more popular trails in maybe the world, if not North America, wouldn't there be – more, I mean, when people disappear, that many people disappear. It's not like, what are you going to do? It's,
well,
it's
you got to, at some level, these are tropes, and they're trying, they set it up to feed into the wrong turn trope, right? They want you to think that they're talking about the inbred hillbillies that are out there that are working with the townsfolk. This is part of, I think, where they're getting a little, by making it a wrong turn film, they're trying to get a little meta and fool the audience so that the surprise as to what's really there is going to be a bigger shock to the audience. It's, you were expecting this, and in fact...
Well, I to add to that, Mike, there's also a little thing towards the end of the film where the daughter is mentioned to her father about the pizza party and said that the boys chose a movie about inbred cannibals.
Right.
Yeah, there was a wink at the end. Yeah
absolutely. Yeah. So, these are tropes, and I don't think we need to get too bogged down in it. It's a little bit of a red herring for the audience, and they're going through their paces at the beginning. But I think we all are kind of on the same page that they don't do a lot to establish the characters here, to get us to like the characters here. And so this is a very by-the-numbers opening to the film, I think.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, and like I said, maybe we're overthinking a horror film.
No, we absolutely are.
Yeah.
Well, it is trying to be more serious than the original Ron. So part of that's behind the reason that I would question.
Okay, I got to object to that statement. It's more serious than the sequels.
It's definitely more serious than the second one.
Wrong Turn was campy at all.
I have to agree with Eric. It was a drive-in film in a midnight movie, but it wasn't campy. It was a real film. I mean, it was set up and whatever. Obviously, the monsters you could say are campy, or the inbreds, but
Stan Winston.
But they're not right. There you go. But I would agree with Eric 100%. The first one was not a campy, you know, crapola.
Right. If you look at like the second one is kind of like Piranha 3D. It's completely over.
Right.
Top.
Yeah.
That, I wasn't saying campy. It was campy. I never said that. So.
Well, no, but it's not. It's also.
It was taking itself more seriously.
Right. And I also think they're trying to go with themes here, and I think they're trying to go. I do think that they are asking for a little bit of thought here about some of the themes that they're putting in and that were written into the story. So I do think it takes itself a little more seriously than...
That's my point. Thank you, Mike.
...than the others. Not that the others didn't... Well, certainly not that the first one didn't take itself seriously, and I can only speak to the second, which didn't. And then the
let me rephrase and defend Eric here again. The first one may have just been a film and it didn't have a message, but I think it was taking itself seriously.
That's not what I said.
There's
I said
messaging
it's trying to
in
take
this
itself
movie
more
that's not any others
seriously.
Right. When you're right, when you're putting messages in a film, you're asked. The film is asking you to scrutinize it.
Yes, that was my point.
Wrong Turn was a film that took itself seriously, the original.
Yes.
But it didn't ask you to dissect it and to analyze it and to think about deeper themes and what meaning and what message were they trying to send.
That is
right.
Exactly the point I was making.
Right. Exactly.
And I want you to know that Eliza Dushku was hot.
The other girl was too. But, I think we're all on the same page on that. It just was semantically, it came out wrong, I guess, originally is all.
Anyhow, moving on. So the first thing that happens to our wayward travelers, I think, is the log roll.
The log, yep. Right from down the hill.
And clearly, none of these people have ever played Donkey Kong.
Or watch Prometheus.
Because you don't run away from the log. You run towards it and jump over it.
Yeah.
Or go left or right.
Yeah,
actually,
exactly.
In this case, Abe, I think that Prometheus was the right solution to run straight and hope, because it was going to hit a tree eventually.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
since it's a big log, zigzagging I don't think was necessarily going to work.
I could at least go the other way, like away from the direction it's rolling down. Because everyone was like trying to play Indiana Jones and just outrun it.
Yeah, straight down the direction it's going, not a great idea.
Yeah, well, Mike does have a fair point. It's eventually going to hit another tree anyway, so...
Well, it did.
Yeah, it did. Gary,
it hit them first.
Yeah, look, he had the right idea. You stand. You find a tree, stand by the tree, and let it hit. But he was just happened to pick the wrong side of the tree.
Not on the side with the log.
Yeah, you gotta flip it around.
Also, he was
trying to catch it with his face.
Also, I mean, one thing I had no issues with it, but I could see some nitpick saying they had plenty of time to move out of this way because that was a steep, long hill. They were not even close to the top. But again, that's just a nitpick.
But I also think
they looked at it for a little bit.
Well, I have to think I could be wrong about this. I don't know how often you guys have been hiking through the woods to see a giant spiky log rolling down at you. I have a feeling though that for people that don't do this on a regular basis, they're not anticipating it. There is a moment of their brain going, "What the fuck am I seeing?"
They need to play Valheim.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I watched this with a director's commentary. And from listening to that, I don't think that log was supposed to be a trap. I think it was just a tree that fell.
Oh, really? That's
because you did mention something earlier about them walking under a falling tree and setting up the fact that, you know the tree was going to fall later.
That makes sense because they, up until they meet up with those guys and when they get cross-examined, they basically are like, what did we do to you? So they were just kind of assuming that was one of the many traps, but it might not have been.
Right. Yeah,
and
I don't think
it would have been nice for them to circle back on that then.
Yeah, yeah.
I still don't think it was a trap, yes, I'm agreeing. But I do think that one of the things that really bothers me about these films, and it's not just this film, it's a lot of horror films, is like someone sees someone in the shadows. And they say, I saw someone. And everybody goes, are you sure? And they go, gee, I don't know. And it's like, you know you saw them. and that happened in this film, unfortunately.
Well, again, I mean, it depends on whether they're
horror. Get there, Phil, though. What did everybody think about the special effects of that dude's head?
Oh, God, that was good.
Pretty soft.
Definitely yeah.
Soft. I think he had a pretty mouth.
I have to rephrase. That was pretty mushy, not pretty solid.
I like how they had the crooked jaw. That duel.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Jesus. That was terrible.
It was. It was awesomely terrible.
Yes, it was awesomely terrible. Yeah. Well, it's like, I didn't know what to think at that point because
I don't think Gary did it either. Not anymore.
His thoughts went right out the back of his head.
Well, but honestly, you were talking about the character development. I think when this happens is some of the little character development we get here.
Yeah.
Which is that after this event happens, they're reacting to the death and the injuries and everything. I think at that point we start to get a little bit of character development, but it might be too late at that point because we're starting to get to Foundation fight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And at that point, we already hated the characters, or at least I did.
I didn't hate all of them.
They get Adam running. I don't know why
everybody hates everybody
and
here.
That's what I just said. Let me rephrase. I was saying, and speak for myself. At this point, I already hated these characters anyway, so it didn't really matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Phil was judging them based on what they were, as opposed to, you know, looking at characters. I think they were just bland.
I felt bad for the guy that got killed. I mean, that was a hard way to go.
I didn't dislike those characters, meaning the two of the gay couple. I didn't dislike them at all. It's just that I didn't even care about them. It's like,
right, and that's the problem, is that they were generic characters. And the one with the most distinct personality that they're all friends with or fucking was a massive asshole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if nobody else in the group has a personality, then the group will take on the taint of that asshole.
Yeah. Right. Taint.
Right. Well, and that's the problem.
Mike,
if the asshole wasn't there, there would be no personalities at all. And it's like, I wouldn't like to care about them. Anyway, so I didn't like them because of the asshole, but if he wasn't there, I wouldn't have cared about them anyway.
Because they didn't develop any of them.
Exactly.
Well, I thought it was interesting, like, the girlfriend was mad that he ran from her, but nobody else seemed to care.
Right, and I think this is why.
Nobody else did with her either.
Well, what the fuck was he going to do?
He's going to stop it
with his bare hands.
Well, and that's the thing, is that
like George Reeves.
Right. I mean, they had the big fight between her and him intentionally, so we just hate him more. But in reality, it's absolutely right. It's like it was like the Titanic. Everybody was out for themselves at that point. Just get the fuck out of the way of the thing.
Well, I don't know that there was another option, honestly.
No, there was no other option.
I didn't think there was.
No, it's just get out of the way or get crushed. You know, yeah.
What's he going to carry her?
Eric, you said something that was interesting, but I missed it.
No, you were talking about that Titanic. I said, yeah, but Billy Zane was an asshole.
That's true. but it was like there was nothing anybody could do, and I don't think anybody else even heard the fight between the two of them anyway. And even if they did, I don't think they would have cared because we just had to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, well, most of them were pretty banged too. Yeah, most of them were pretty banged up during that fight too. Because I mean, that's where people were like Darius' finger was snapped in half. People were scratched up and bruised and stuff. They were all roughed up and absolutely still shaking with adrenaline and stuff like that. So. They were still even just trying to process what the fuck just happened.
Well, and this is where Cancer Girl comes in, is because now she, because her mom died of cancer, became a doctor. And she's there to treat their wounds. She's the party cleric.
Right.
Maybe she rolled the natural 20, she'd bring back Gary.
Well, she failed it.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a trope. You know, someone's family member died of cancer, so they become a doctor. I mean, everybody has a family person that's died of cancer, and
right.
They don't be doctors.
Well,
but
because you can't just become a doctor because you want to be a doctor. But, but I can also tell you, I've written a number of letters of recommendation for students who want to become doctors or go into medicine, and a lot of them, that is a reason. They had a family member who was sick, and either they died or they got better, but that was a thing that motivated them. Right, whether it's to stop people from dying or to help out people the way that their mom or grandma or whoever it was helped.
But I've seen as many that done it because they thought it would be an interesting profession, enjoyable, whatever, as well as
money,
be rich,
right? Yeah.
So I've seen so many different, but they just chose to, I guess, make her character more sympathetic, maybe. But again, it didn't matter because I didn't even notice any of that stuff about the cancer death.
Right, they don't develop her character well, I don't think. And that makes it hard.
And plus she's dating that asshole.
She's fucking an asshole. And so that makes it even harder to kind of get on board. And you just kind of, it's not fair, but you assume if you're dating the asshole and you're comfortable with him being an asshole, and she seems very comfortable with him as an asshole, then you're an asshole too. That's just sort of...
Or as I say, suspect.
If you do not have anything more, you know, then that just, again, the asshole rubs off on you like a cat.
That's fair. So that was probably the best scene of the film, I thought, right there. I like that scene.
Yeah.
For me.
I thought there were way better ones.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I just like that. Well, the whole thing was stressful because everything was
good. It was good. Don't get me wrong.
Well, because this that's the part of the film I liked. Once we got into the second half of the film, I didn't really like it that much. And even the first half.
I'm just going to jump in here to get my thoughts on the table because I liked the foundation. I thought that was a really cool idea, no matter how unrealistic it is. I don't give a fuck. It's a fucking movie.
Right.
So yeah. I like the foundation, and I really like the fact that they were misjudged and ended up having some really valid points when it came to that trial. Although they may have taken it a bit far, you could see where they were coming from. And then once we get past that scene to the point where Jen pulls her her card out of her ass to save them, I thought that was really, really interesting. So I really liked that aspect of the movie.
I would have liked to listen more with the time with the foundation, you know, similar to 1BR, just seeing how they're integrating into the society and stuff like that. Because as we find out, she resists them, but Darius buys into it really quickly. So I was really curious on how the whole thing went down.
Well, I was just going to mention this because I'm looking over my notes, and right before the log roll, you have one of the most awkward attempts at character development that I think I can remember in a film where Darius randomly blurts out as they're walking through the woods, "Do you know why I work for a nonprofit? Because I want to save the world and build a community of which people all are sharing equally and pulling their own weight. And I want to live in a commune," basically, is what he's saying. And
did
I'm going to give
that when they were in the woods? I thought he said
when they were in bed.
They were in bed with Jen.
Yeah.
Oh, were they? Whatever. It was just and I just remember it coming up kind of like very randomly.
Yeah.
Like for no, like how long have you been dating? And now you're just getting around to
it's a, as you know, Bob moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just so awkward. And I love the fact that it does come back almost verbatim later in the film.
It does.
Yeah. Those things, you know, those societies have a price. Because you have to keep the people in line. Oh God. So yeah, and that was the extent was preachiness. That was where I kind of eye rolled at him. And the only thing really at this point, I guess the only thing about Jen that I liked was the fact that she was self effacing when she pulls out her I was a dance major and an art history major, and that means I serve coffee for a living. So she's like the one, pardon me for saying it, but it's basically that's how it's like she's like the loser of the group. The gay guys have their bakery business, and this one's a doctor, and this one, you know, works for the nonprofit, and she's slinging coffee, and she knows that she's the one that's
What's Adam
height.
Do again?
What I was wondering. What is that?
Adam, I think, was a professional asshole.
but his job, I forget what his profession was. Yeah
I forget too.
But yeah, that but was what it was the thing when they went decent, around. They decent. All. Were like, because that was the thing. Said you probably never, you know, you never haven't worked a hard day in your life, right? Which was the redneck judging them, just as they had judged the redneck, right? So that's why, like, it's for me, unlikable kind of either way. And then I think it was Mila who went around.
Yeah, but,
and just,
but his reaction was a reaction to their action.
So yeah, I know.
He wouldn't have said any of that if they didn't attack him.
But he still had those prejudices.
But you know he was thinking it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter what anybody's thinking if they don't say it out loud, in my opinion. Because they were still polite to him until they were dinks to him. And to be honest, if someone says something to me that's bad, then yeah, I mean, I'm going to start saying, well, you're a nerd and you're this, you know, even though I wouldn't have cared less prior to you attacking me.
I usually just ignore them.
But again, Phil, I think the whole point of the film is people judging groups of others.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And so yeah. I think that, and look, you know that, you know these people, I know these people, and I know the other people. I don't know the third group.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, but we know these two kinds of groups of people, and we know that they do kind of look down on the other group, whether they'll admit to it or not.
Right.
They either look down on them or resent them, and make assumptions about them.
Right.
And it's where like the stereotypes all come from, and you know the joking about, you know, the inbred families, or you know.
Well, now it's even more than that. It's politics. If you're on this side,
right.
You're one way, and if you're on this side, you're another way, and that you're 50%.
Oh, and I think we are pretty sure we know how everybody in this film voted, if they voted in the last election.
Probably, yeah.
But yeah, let's put that aside. All right, so. Then I think it's after this, right, that dumbass gets caught up, or was it Mila disappear?
Mila disappears.
They spent the night in the graveyard unintentionally.
Yeah.
And right. Then the dude sneaks in Mila's and steals all their phones.
And then Mila
disappears.
Yeah. So Mila disappeared. Yeah, that whole Mila thing was pretty weird. It's like,
how far off did that go to go to the bathroom?
Exactly.
That was awful. That was
was when she just appears out of nowhere later. It's like, what?
Oh, at just the right time.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Fuck all you guys.
Oh God, no! I found the whole thing was just to me was executed awkwardly. And yeah, you know, but hey, that's me.
But again, it's a B movie, so
I would have rather she'd been taken by them. But yeah,
look, yeah, well, but I think there, well, I think it could have been
at that point.
That I think, whether it's the direction or the writing, I think it could have been done better. At the very least, I mean, it's like she just wandered off in the middle of the woods when they're lost to go pee and didn't tell anybody, "Hey, I'm going to go pee," in case another log comes rolling by. I'm not referring to one of her logs.
Or they're going to leave.
Oh! Well, you need the leaves when you go to the bathroom in the woods.
But that's a fair point. Yeah, I mean, just disappearing after someone's dead and people are hurt and there could be more logs that could fall. You never know.
I don't know, man. Do you announce it when you go to the bathroom?
If I'm lost in the woods with a group,
I don't want them going in the direction I went.
Jen already said she thought she saw someone in the distance. And
yeah, no, you don't go off without telling somebody.
Yeah, to me, this is like we were all on field trips in elementary school. You always had to have a buddy, right? You had to have a partner.
Yeah.
You know, I know when I'm, and I, even I know like when I'm going out places with large groups of people, I don't just want you. Or with my wife, I don't just wander off to the bathroom and without saying, "Hey, I'm going to go step away for a minute." You know, I don't just.
Well, maybe I missed something. Did they all get up and interact with each other before she went away?
I don't remember.
Because I was under the impression that she just got before everybody else and went to go pee.
Yeah, she got before everybody else. And
I would still let my boyfriend, who I got mad at for leaving me behind, know that I'm going away to pee.
I probably wouldn't wake people up to tell them I'm going to the bathroom.
If she feels that way about her boyfriend not being near her to help her, then she'd be waking him up.
Okay.
Yeah, and also it is, you know, they already, you know, completely have no idea where they are.
And honestly, Eric, that's not really the issue I have. Is it's just the way they handled the
right. I'm with
the
Mike
tortured explanation of how she disappeared for just the exactly right amount of time.
Right. You know, she didn't hear. And then she appears and she goes, oh, what's going on? And they've been screaming and yelling and calling her name. And then that's the thing. She's acting like that. But then later she goes, oh, the reason I was hidden was because there was people and I didn't want them to see me and I was scared of them. And then just 3 minutes earlier, she was like, hey, guys, how's everybody going? Without saying any of this.
No, I think that's because that's like they start asking her about grilling her on that right away. Well, she found them because she had found them. She just didn't want to make noise when she was alone.
Yeah.
Right. And they had just killed one of the two men.
Yeah, that's true.
Just such poor timing.
And for the purposes of the story, they needed her to disappear and come back.
Right.
So that they could then have no justification for killing that dude.
Right.
Right.
Well, and because he was just an asshole. And I understand, like, hitting him in the head and beating him, but
he
went a little far.
They could have spoken English, though. Because they do.
I know, that's what they always bug the hell out of.
So they got what they deserved. I
don't think that one dude actually did speak English. Because later in the trial, he's still speaking that language.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. Yeah, but
at least one of those two did, didn't they?
The dead one?
I think the dead one said, that was what.
Neither of them did, but it does bring up an issue I had with how none of these people were taught any English by those who did in the community. That honestly would have helped a lot if they ever ran into outsiders. Otherwise, you get situations like this.
That's a valid point.
It also did make me. That's why one thing I wanted to learn more about the foundations because they originally were families from the states who broke off. So you imagine, I was always wondering, like, why did they create this new language when they all spoke English together? What was the reason behind it and stuff like that? I mean, it does create the language barrier for the situation, but it also made me wonder what was the reason for it.
Well, that was a. According to the director, that was an actual language they were using. Maybe the Farron, I want to say. So it is a language that exists in the world. I don't know why they're using it in Virginia.
Well, it almost sounded like German to me.
Norse or something like that?
Yeah, it sounded something like that to me. Like
well, the cloven is very reminiscent of Norse tribes and stuff.
Yeah, it has a Nordic origin, for sure, that language.
If they had come from... I mean, and we didn't get the history, but if these were a colony founded, if a lot of them were from recent settlers that were still speaking the mother tongue, I could understand why they just kind of continue with that language.
Well, also, you never know. I mean, it could have been like, Jewish folk decide to learn Hebrew again, even though that's not their first language, and they just go that route, or. You know how the old Catholic Church, the Vatican, forced all the priests to learn Latin and so forth and use Latin instead of their regular language. So it could be something like that where they said, you know what, let's take on this language that is representative of our religion more so than anything else. No disrespect to Latin or Hebrew to folks who use that, but you see what my point is, though?
Oh, yeah, I don't have a problem. I mean, they could have just been Trekkies speaking Klingon for all I cared. whatever, they have decided to adopt this language as their main language for whatever reason, maybe to make a clean break with our society. I have no idea. We don't get the backstory, and I don't think we need the backstory. I think the fact, I mean, that we can offer speculation, but this is the reason why fan fiction exists. And sequels and novelizations and all the other stuff, if it really is a thing you want to really get the right answer to.
Now, they wouldn't have let these kids leave the mountain anyway, right? I mean, they had gone far enough in that they were going to keep them regardless of provocation,
yeah,
right?
There was a line said by a tracker who led the father in to try and show him the way, said that at a certain point they don't let anyone leave. Because they had like a series of traps that were supposed to be like deterrents, but at a certain point, there would be like the point of no return for trespassers.
Well, yeah. But they had said, and it depends on where they end up going, but they said they were taking asshole to a place where he would be found and taken to a hospital.
Right.
So I have a feeling that they were perfectly fine with hanging out in the background and just letting... Now, obviously, if they had stumbled upon their community, that's one thing. You know, they were wandering into animal traps. You know, but if they had made their way off the mountain on their own and never directly come into contact, I don't think that would have been an issue, because I think this is what they're trying to set up. This is part of the some of the contradictory stuff they have with this community, though, right?
Well, and honestly, Mike, that's I was going to get into it later, but that's one of my bigger issues with the movie, is that the mythology of the Foundation is not consistent. That they're supposed to be this group that's hiding in the woods and doesn't want to be bothered. Yet earlier in the movie, Jen runs across what's her name?
Ruthie and whatever.
Ruthie and the Foundation woman, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Let me look it up.
Yeah, they were selling stuff.
Edith is her name.
Selling stuff in town. Yeah.
And they're like right down in town selling bracelets, and that doesn't make sense. And then
why do they need the money?
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like went on that road trip. At least not to me. So.
Well, the road trip might.
I think they were buying supplies.
Yeah, I think they might have still, but they do say they're self sufficient.
Right.
Yeah.
So if they're self-sufficient and want to be left alone, why are they in town and why are they taking road trips?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
That's what bothered me.
Because that's how they wrote it.
Well, and again, sorry for dropping this multiple times, but listening to the director's commentary.
Oh, that's good.
Mike P. Nelson, the director. By the way, this guy's first feature, and even though it's clearly not a perfect movie, I think it's a hell of a first effort.
Well, no, I mean, I know he's directed other things. He directed
Domestics
a couple of years earlier. This might be his first theatrical release.
Well, that's what I just said. That's what his first feature film. If you listen to the guy, he sounds like he's in high school. I don't know if his balls have dropped yet.
And this is where he's selling the bracelets in town because we like bracelets.
And it was his idea to extend the end of the movie past where they get away. And I think that was a big mistake. Because that whole kind of coda back at the house does not work for me in really any way, shape, or form.
Well, he did direct The Domestics from 2018.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think, first of all, I think we know when you look at Venable, he had to be leaving the community there at some point to go get his hair done. Because that haircut looked very, very professional.
Clean. Yeah.
It didn't look like mountain man hair. I think Jen's dad had more of mountain man hair than Venable did. I thought he was remarkably well coiffed for a guy living in that particular civilization who's walking around all the time wearing animal skulls.
Yeah, all right. So there's just some multiple inconsistencies. I don't know, Eric, if you did say the director said this was his feature film on the commentary, that's not true. He lied.
Well, I guess it depends on how you define feature.
Well, The Domestics was a major motion picture. I remember seeing it on iTunes. It's an hour and 35-minute film, and it was a horror film.
Oh, why are we stuck on this?
Because.
Oh, because
we're getting stuck on everything tonight, Eric. Have you not been paying attention?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Anyhow, so basically, right, they all get they get captured and taken for killing this dude and put on trial, and they have weird ass trial rules. Like Jen has to speak for the whole group, and the whole group is going to get punished for whatever she says.
Yeah, that was bizarre.
It's like, can I have my own lawyer? I don't. Yeah.
Yeah. This was weird. Eric has some really good points, which is this is an interesting society, and a lot of it oddly makes sense, even during the trial. But as you say, Mike, some of the trial stuff doesn't make any sense because it's like, why are they having Jen? Why is her opinion more important than the other two that aren't going to be put, you know, clubbed in the head? So, the Doc Miller and Darius. Why is Jen chosen over those two? I don't know, except she happens to be the lead, maybe. I mean, that's all I can think of.
Right, and they profess to be civilized, that we're not barbaric, but if you speak out of turn again, we're going to cut out your tongue.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just gagged a guy. That worked perfectly fine to keep him from speaking out of turn, right? So now you and Jen, you've allowed to speak. So that pretty much you're saying, Darius, if you say a word, we're going to cut your tongue out. Right. That seems very unfair to me.
Yeah, that's kind
of. And let me ask you a question: out of the punishments that they offer, which do you think was the punishment more that was worse?
I don't know.
I'd want the death. I'll tell you that. Take death over the.
Yeah, I mean,
Although that method of execution was pretty gnarly.
Yeah, but it's over fast, right?
It's either get your head bashed in or basically become a cave dweller.
Your eyes get burned out.
Actually, I think had his head bashed in was because he bashed in.
Yeah, but
if you killed him a different way, I think he would have got that way instead. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, by Bunga Bunga. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and again, from the commentary, that execution was the moment they had to change to avoid getting an NC-17, because originally they showed the first impact of that, the first swing of the log.
Interesting.
And
really? Because like
the MPA did not like that at all, so they had to cut away to show the reaction from the girls. And then you got that one, that final, they showed the final hit, but they had to cut the first one.
I wonder why they didn't release the NCs or the non-rated version for VOD and disc.
Well, I'm just thinking about the Midsummer scene where they bash that guy's head.
Oh yeah,
So what was
that was done? That didn't get NC-17.
Yes, but that's because that was done in a more artful, tasteful film.
That's a really good point there, though, Barrett.
That's accelerated horror, so it's a little different.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know there were different rules. Now I got it.
Of course, there are different rules. No, but Doctor actually did say something about hopefully there's an extended cut on a DVD that you'll be able to watch, but nope. But he had to take that out.
There is some extended stuff on here, but I haven't watched it yet, so now I'm going to have to watch it and see.
Yeah, well, let us know. So, I saw that, honestly, I'll be honest, I kind of saw a lot of this coming a mile away. Yeah. That I knew we were being set up. You know, the fact that they weren't showing the faces of the guys, I was like, let me guess, they're all going to be like beautiful and Nordic, you know, stuff. They're sitting there, they've been accusing these people of being, you know, and been hitting the Civil War and racist assholes and all this stuff. So there's going to be like black people among them, aren't there? I mean, I was kind of keying into where they were going with this. I enjoyed the fact that Darius kind of got his dream civilization with these bunch of ruthless assholes. I mean, the ruthlessness of them, right? If they were just like, you know, we have to punish you for what you did, and it was a brutal punishment, but not that brutal. I'm perfectly fine with them executing asshole because he was an asshole.
Yeah.
Well, and he did murder someone.
And he did murder somebody.
He did murder someone.
I understand Jen's argument. You know, the nuance. It was he thought it was self-defense. Yep. What have you? I get it. Yeah, I don't entirely, but at least she lied. She defended the guy. She was splitting hairs about whether it was murder or self defense or manslaughter, and for that they were going to punish her to life in a cave. Where I'm getting the sense from things we saw, like they only eat whatever rats they can find,
Or, yeah, they become cannibals pretty much.
Or there's dead bodies. It looked like, wasn't a guy dragging a woman out of there? And I can only imagine why he was dragging the starving blind woman out of the cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so
it seemed like, at least from what we saw in this movie, the only two punishments available are death or darkness.
Yes.
There couldn't be any other options.
I think they could have come up with some amendments to that particular
in the hundred couple years.
It's 1859. Yeah, it's been
Though, it'd be a hell of a deterrent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, true.
You don't dare break any laws.
But you also maybe want to tell newcomers that this is, listen, if you lie, here's what we're going to do to you.
Mm-hmm.
Not like... Like, you lie in court, you get a fine, or you get a maybe a few months in jail on a first offense. Most likely you're let off with a slap on the wrist if it's a minor thing.
Maybe they cut off your nose or something for the first offense, and then...
Yeah, scar somebody, cut off a finger. Like, and I saw, so when they said darkness, I thought they were going to blind them. I didn't think they were going to do the thing that they did to them.
I had to be blinded twice to understand what he said there. Because I understand him perfectly when he said death, but when he said darkness, like, it just, I wasn't expecting it, so it didn't make sense to me. I was like, wait, what did he say? I was like, darkness?
Well, there's also one thing that always confused me. Is like, they were willing to give a trial for this whole murder situation, but as soon as the dad pops in, they're like, no trials needed, throw him in.
Yeah.
Well, because he's there, obviously, he trespassed.
Right, that's one of the mods.
No trial necessary.
Yeah, but
burn your eyes out and throw you in a cave.
But as I said, it was just like, really? You had this whole situation where you had to capture these people and chase them down after they killed one of your own. You went through this whole trial for that. But this guy pops in accidentally, and you're like, oh, well, into the pit you go.
So, a couple notes here. One is that I found it, amongst the unbelievable things in this movie, perhaps the most unbelievable to me is that Matthew Modine, after having his trackers get executed by a booby trap, manages to find his way to this place.
Yeah, I know.
Dark, by himself, free of harm.
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely amazing. I couldn't, because the very first thing, he's meeting the trackers and stuff like that, he's got a fucking yellow jacket on. He's carrying pretty much like vacationing stuff.
I love that one line from the tracker dude. He's like, yeah, why don't you, he's like, give the keys to her. She'll take it back. It'll look like it's been sitting there for a while. And get rid of that jacket because you're walking around with a big damn target on your back.
Right. And like, look, in his defense, he didn't know he was going out to fight a bunch of like secret civilization barbarian warriors, right?
I mean, at that point, he did actually.
Yeah, because
he'd already packed.
Yeah, but the innkeeper, you know, told about it, but he's still taking him seriously and strolling the woods. I'm like, seriously, dude, how'd you manage to get through when everybody else was scarred and dead? It was like,
yeah, I thought he was going to hire some people to go up there, not just these two trackers. I would have hired some mercenaries. Come on.
I mean, yeah, he dropped $5,000 on these trackers, but money well spent, buddy.
A nice mercenary crew would have added some fun to this movie.
I knew they were going to be fodder. The trackers, but I didn't know they would be gone in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, I also really laughed hard when the trap fell, and then Matthew Modine goes back and like calls the guy's name. Squished under the thing with the spikes hanging out, and he's just like, Steve?
Steve, is that you?
Swish, I'm swish, okay.
Swish.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
Just give me a band-aid, I'll be fine.
Yeah,
he did it to himself. He hit the tripwire. Oh god!
Yeah, that was crazy.
I can smell colors now.
No, but the other thing I wanted to say is that I found the concept of first of all, I think Mike hit the nail on the head earlier when he's like, "Why didn't Jen say something 3 minutes earlier and save her other friend too?" But I guess they wanted us to see what the darkness was. But yeah, I really enjoyed it when she's like, wait, you're wasting resources, and gives them a completely logical reason to keep them around. Yep. And the fact that she was actually offering herself as a baby maker, I was like, well, shit, that was some quick thinking.
You knew the leader was going to take her.
Yeah, and you know, don't take this the wrong way, but I mean that was a ballsy move.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I honestly thought her argument for Darius was a little weak.
Yeah.
He can do stuff. Oh. He's a community planner. He can upgrade your plumbing that you probably don't have. He can give you a nice solar garden.
No, but I found the concept of the two of them joining their society to be really intriguing. And yeah. I really liked that Darius actually ended up staying there. And I kind of wish that she had too. I think that would have been a great ending for that movie, for Matt Modine to make it up here and for her to be like, sorry, Pops, I like it here. You're in the darkness.
I agree.
And hitting him with the arrow in the head instead of the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I was hoping that she was brainwashed because I think that would have made a better ending.
Well, because I think part of my problem with this is, right, we know that the hipsters were assholes, and we know that the rednecks were kind of assholes to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is we should try to understand either side. But I'm sorry, the Foundation were assholes too, and in many ways bigger assholes. So who the hell was I rooting for? I didn't come away with, oh, and they were really just a misunderstood enlightened society that blind people for minor offenses and make them forever wander caves eating their own filth. I mean, it's I couldn't like them. So it would have been more chilling, I think, and quicker to end it with her being with them. He's, you know, the Darius is like, oh, it's the first time I've ever felt like I belong. I'm like, well, yeah, this was the little community you wanted. And again, that's as long as you stay in line, then that'll be fine. You know, we'll have that nice little commune here. And this is, I guess, part of the problem I have with the film, as I feel like it's saying something. I'm not really sure what it's saying, and that's my problem.
I don't think the film is sure what it's saying either, which is the actual problem.
Right. Yeah. Now, true. Now, I will also say that I like the ambiguity, and I don't know if it's intended or not. If they're just saying, and here's this, and here's these guys, and make it ambiguous, and there's good and there's bad. There's good among the rednecks, there's bad among the rednecks. There's good and there's bad among the hipsters, and there's good and bad among the Foundation, although really all you're going to see is the bad. And I get that, and then let you discuss that. I don't know if that, and so I like that. I don't know if that's what they intended to turn this into a think piece and have some late night coffee sessions, and we can discuss the merits over which society is better. You know, especially I don't think that was their point. But even if they stumbled into it, I can appreciate that. And that it has caused me to think more about the film than I might have otherwise. And I certainly would rather that than being in my face and telling me which society is better because we don't have racism or because we don't have whatever, the death penalty, whatever it is. We don't have to deal with any of that. So I kind of like that they didn't hit me over the head with a message. I don't think they delivered it well, but they didn't hit me over the head with it either.
Yeah, and that's true. I just unfortunately didn't like the characters much.
Yeah.
And also the first half of it was I liked better because it was more action packed and chaos and whatever, and it was more typical horror film. I think it's what you said. You kind of knew where everything was going to go in a sense, except for whether or not Jen was going to stay or not.
Well, I don't want to pat myself on the back too much. You know, I was looking for something that was going to subvert our expectations. I don't know if it was obvious up to the point where we were just taking you to safety. We were going to leave you by the side of the road where you could go to the hospital. Up until that moment, I think you fans could kind of follow, predict where it was going. I don't know how many people would have predicted that the Foundation would have been this benevolent-ish group of people, a non-cannibalist probably people, mm-hmm. I think. Or maybe we just didn't see that part of their society. I don't think
the society as a whole was cannibalistic. I think if you live in a cave without food and eyes, then you eat whatever is available.
God, yeah, that was awful. And that is a thing that will like haunt my dreams. Right? That whole darkness thing, that is immediately going on my list as like
the
most disturbing. What?
The red hot poker?
Not the red hot poker. The people in the cave.
Oh, okay.
And seeing him, Louis, later in the cave with his eyes eating something.
Yeah,
I don't even know. I think it was rat.
His eyes are pretty much hollow. It was so freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's just kind of almost like acknowledging someone's there, but just he's so gone. He's a shell.
Well, at least you put him out of his misery.
Right, and yeah. And I mean, I had gotten the sense, I know they threw him in there, but I was wondering if there would be more, because they said you will see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil. So part of me was wondering if they were also going to like take their tongues and take their ears or something at the same time.
Well, and that was weird, because none of them were actually saying anything.
No, that's true. So I imagine, you know, if you're lucky, you hear people screaming and calling for help and shit like that.
Yeah, maybe they took the tongues, too. I'm with Eric on that.
But yeah. They didn't show it, so that
they
was...
They didn't show it, right, so they didn't happen. Right. I was wondering if that was the original intent.
Well, there's a weird moment I actually remember when Lewis is punished. His mouth is also
punish!
Bleeding. His mouth is actually bleeding, too. So
I think
like,
he might have been eating a dead rat.
No, I mean, when he got the punishment, when the fire poker came, when it cuts to his face, his mouth is bleeding, too. So I feel like maybe this was also something that was cut from the film as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I'm wondering.
That could be possible.
One of those deleted scenes.
Yeah, makes sense that it could have.
But no, that's the idea of spending the rest of your life in a cave without toilet paper, right? Not being able to communicate with anybody, not seeing anything, you know, just that to me is just that's just, and it's
well,
not even like
I'll still
the
say the road.
Year.
I'll still say the road was worse.
Yeah,
you remember that one?
Well, they're going to eat the kid.
No. In the
cellar, right?
The cellar in the road.
I'm trying to remember that now.
I read the book. It was there were people being kept in their food storage with their limbs missing.
Yeah. So they would leave them in the basement, and they would grab you every so often and chop off your leg or arm for food, and then they put you back down there.
Oh well, that's like the garden in Motel Hell.
Yeah, something like that. But it was worse than the road. The road, it was like horrendously. It was worse than even this what you saw in this film. It was like terrible. Hey, you got to see the movie because they do a really good job if you read the book.
But yeah, I mean, look, it's and then we'll, should we talk about the ending then?
Yeah, sure.
Right, is that they escape together, and naturally she's pregnant. Because we're assuming that Venable was very Venable, you know.
He's very manly.
Oh yeah, and Venable tracks her down and puts her in his Winnebago, and
yeah, I had huge
well
problems.
The dream sequence was stupid. It would have been awesome if it actually happened, but
right when it happened, I jumped out of my seat and I was like, oh, that was awesome. And then it was just like a hallucination. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Well, that was and it was awesome because they both lost. Because she loses her family and he loses because he's dead. And it was like, this is stylistically awesome. And then they change it. It's like, oh, this sucks.
it felt such a waste of time. You could have used such, you know, that could have been.
It was. They were trying to have their cake and eat it too, and pick one or the other.
Yeah.
Right? Don't try to do both, because if you show because the worst you're going to do, you're either going to give people an ending they love and take it away from them, or you're going to give people an ending they think is ridiculous and over the top, and then say it didn't really happen, so I just wasted your time with it. Yeah. Right. I think.
Yeah.
I don't. I don't think that works. Time. Yeah.
I mean, that was time they could dedicate to something else. And, it, you know, as you said, it, choose one or the other. I mean, if it had gone that direction, that would have been like, holy fucking shit. And then, you know, maybe.
That would have been awesome. Because
it would have been awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was just like. But then it suddenly goes from a different, completely different direction. And it was like, why bother? You could have had never had that to begin with. And
yeah, well, they should have just. If they had that ending, I would honestly say give it a higher rating for sure. Because then yeah, I was like, that movie was awesome. It would have left me with a good taste. But then when they changed it, I was like, oh, that sucked.
Yeah, if they were going to extend the ending, that was the one to use. I still think they should have ended it when they were driving away in the pickup truck.
Well, because it just asked so many questions, right?
Where'd they get their fucking clothes? Where'd they get a Winnebago? How do they know how to drive? How do they know? Well, I guess Darius could have told them where she lives.
Right,
but.
And that's what they should have done. Well,
Darius should have been with them, right?
Right, if Darius had been with them, and even if he was with them and, like, take a shot over to him and he, like she looks at him and he casts his eyes down, like, because he's ashamed because they have forced him. Like, maybe he was threatened with darkness if he didn't tell them how to get to her, something like that.
Or he was already on board and he became evil too. Like,
or you could have done that as well, but except that he had already covered for her, right?
Yeah, that's
true.
And let her go. Yeah. So I don't know that I would have bought the evil turn. That would have been a bit much, but I would have certainly taken that he was kind of forced to do it. And I mean, you could have had a big debate and argument over, well, you killed so many of our people while you're escaping and that, you know, you were horrible that you did that.
And also, if you're going on an action mission where you might have to kidnap this woman and bring her back, why'd you bring the kid?
That was no sense at all. That was dumb. Right. That was really stupid.
So you have to figure out, right. And if they had, now, by the way, if they had established, like with the bracelets, that they do send people out, that they do put spies in the world to see what's going on, to see if it's ever going to be like good for them to return or to take things to, you know, that they could use. All right, then they would have a justification for that, but they never really go there.
No, they don't.
You know, because so right, they had to A, get the Winnebago, B, they had to get money to put gas in the Winnebago. Drive the Winnebago. No, I was like, and what is he going to say? Well, she lives in wherever she lives. She lives in Rochester, New York. Okay. Get in the Winnebago. Where the fuck is Rochester?
it left so many questions. It was ridiculous.
But if Darius was there, all of that could be explained. Darius drives the Winnebago. Darius tells him how to get there. Darius, you know, goes, buys their clothes or whatever, you know, because he might still have his clothes from when he was first captured. Mm-hmm. So he could go out, you know, use any money he had, get them some jeans and a T-shirt at the local dollar store, you know, or whatever. Or Dollar General. And then off they go. And all good, you know, but no, I don't. Well, I think I think the reason for the kid was to maybe give cover for their story, although I'm admitting that I'm stretching here.
Yeah.
Right. Of making him seem less suspicious. Right. If it's a strange man in your neighborhood, that looks bad. If it's a strange man with a child, it's more likely a dad and his daughter, and you're not necessarily going to be as suspicious unless it's a pedophile. Then that's a whole different story. But it is not the first place you're going to go, right? The pedophile usually doesn't walk around out in the open with the child.
Yeah, but I think just the ending they chose was it was too much because the movie's an hour and a 50 minutes long.
It's a long film.
But by the time you get through that extended ending, you're feeling it. If they had not done that and just ended it where they escape the foundation, you knock 20 minutes off the movie, so it's like about an even hour and a half. Don't go through that silly, twisted dreams, whatever. And honestly, I thought the very end, like that they showed during the credits, just is so dumb. Because at that point, what happens next? The police show up and throw her in jail.
Exactly.
Yeah, I doubt it because that kid goes to an orphanage somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how is she going to explain? You know, she murdered like 3-4 people in a trailer.
Right.
And I should try to explain the foundation and shit like that. And it's like,
well, okay, no, see, I'll disagree with you there, because first of all, I liked the final shot of the film. I like the fact that they have. I like the fact that they have this sustained shot. We don't know what goes on, so I'll disagree with Phil saying she was like Superwoman at the beginning of the movie. We do know she's a dancer, so she's athletic. We don't know where the kids' allegiance was. We don't know what the hell happened in the Winnebago, and so that's left open.
This guy is smart. It's a little too. He got taken out of.
Yeah, but again, you don't know. She's smart too.
Right, right. Yeah, maybe Ruthie did something.
Right, because they wouldn't necessarily expect the child to turn on them.
Right.
Well, I mean, Ruthie did. It was Ruthie who broke herself out of Adam's clutches with the little hidden knife and stuff.
Right. So whatever it is that happened, I just like the way it was. And like I said, there's all this implausibility stuff before it, and I agree with you. There's all these little problems, and there's more problems that come out the more you think about it. But it just as a shot of doing this single shot and having it all play out in this single shot, mostly at a distance.
Well, no one's disagreeing that the shot is good. I'm agreeing with Eric that it was like, yeah. Okay.
And then letting the whole thing play out throughout the entire run of the credits. I kind of liked the way that went. So I thought that literally just the ending shot, I thought was impressive, even if it was kind of silly. Doing the post Dakota after all. I agree with everybody that Jen killing her father or sending her father into the darkness was the way to go.
No.
That would have been the gut punch of gut punches for this film.
Sure.
And if not that, then him killing the whole family and her killing him would have been a great ending awesome as well.
Too. Yeah. 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 I would have liked that too. Yeah. But I'm not disagreeing with you, Mike. It was a great shot.
It was a beautifully filmed shot. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was right. Definitely.
But that's not what myself and Eric are.
Oh no, I know that. I have agreed with that. I've moved past that. I just want to say that's like my final impression of the film. And like, and between that and the whole thing with the darkness, those are the two things that are going to sit with me with this movie. And for me, even though there's a lot of generic horror film stuff in this. Those are the things that pushes me from an eh to a okay, you know, to a thumbs up. Not raging thumbs up, just
not
I think
three
I
thumbs
like
up.
It. What?
Not three thumbs up.
Not three thumbs up.
I guess you know? I guess the darkness thing didn't do much for me. It was because when I was watching it, I was thinking this is so much done better in The Road. You know, for some reason, I just kept on thinking of that. Don't ask me why. But I could see how, if you hadn't seen The Road, or you forgot that scene in The Road, that what you saw, Mike, would go, holy shit, that was shocking.
Well, no, I mean, I've seen similar stuff like that before, but it's still making you go through that. You know, sure. So we've all seen horror films where it's the fate worse than death.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, what was that movie? Weeble Wobble, Weeble Wobble, One of Us. That the Duck Girl. The Duck Girl.
Yeah, Freaks.
That,
right.
That
and that this is very
out.
Much
the
like
duck
that.
Duck Girl freaked me out. Yeah. That
or The Old Man in The Fly 2.
I didn't see that.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. He's turned to the mutant and he's left in the pit.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Right. Was that the guy that was in the first movie?
There was a guy that was in the first. Was he in the first film?
He got his hand.
No, that's a different guy. I mean, he is in the second film, but it's not.
But he's not the guy that goes into.
He's not the guy that the bad thing happens to. No, gotcha. This is a new guy. This is the head of the corporation.
Gotcha. So yeah, but I don't know. I'm with Barrett though. Those other two endings would have been better endings. And if they went that way, I think I would have liked the film a little better, for sure.
So we've actually come up with three endings, one of which, or two of which were actually in the film. This movie has more endings than The Lord of the Rings.
That's true. It's true.
That we all agree would be better. Betraying the father, stop after she leaves, or kill everybody.
Make the hallucination real.
Right.
Yeah, make the hallucination real. That was awesome. I was like, holy shit, everybody's dead, and everybody
lost. But I do
like
the Winnebago scene, and I would have liked them to fit it in there somehow, even with the different endings.
Oh, and by the way, about the police, I would have said, I don't know, we don't know what happened, right? They came back missing five people. Somebody had to tell someone to the families what happened to these people.
That's
true.
Because
what are they going
to
add?
The parents of the other five, you're right. Yeah.
And the father was there. Right, so he can back up her story. Right, she was being kidnapped. They have the girl there. The girl can verify the story.
This is what I'm talking about.
The part you're glossing over there, Mike, is all the corpses
that she killed. The people who were kidnapping her.
Yeah, I'm with Eric on this. Also, you got to forget that this is what I'm talking about, where I had a problem, which is if this scene could get the foundation taken down and her innocent and then this huge story international, then the foundation would have been found out way before this.
If this was not a wrong turn film, because you can't, this is not wrong turn material. There is a great fanfic story sequel about her, like, becoming like a media sensation after, like, girl raped by hillbilly, in secret society, kidnapped, murders her kidnappers, raising now this little wild child, and at the same time, the government going in to get these people, because the only reason they can survive is because nobody knows they're there. Right, booby traps are booby traps, but it's not going to stop, like, Delta Force, it's just, or SEAL Team 6, or Firebomb. Something's going to be happening. And so you can make an interesting follow-up to this as to the aftermath of it. I'm not saying that there won't be consequences, but I mean, I could just easily see, like, this becoming a massive, can you imagine if this happened? You know it's going on the news. At the very,
that's what I'm saying. It would be like international news, like,
oh, absolutely.
Weird coat and forest, and all this other crap. Yeah.
No,
I don't know. I'm still with Eric.
All murders, three are kidnappers.
I don't know. I see your point, Mike, that maybe if they allowed her to bring them up and they find all those people with no eyes and tongues and then she'd be good. But you got four people just murdered. And she went nuts and killed them all. And I don't know.
They would do a psychological evaluation. She would certainly probably end up in an institution for a bit. But they would have the father. They would have a lot of evidence to back up the story.
This is another thing I don't like about the characters is that they know that these assholes killed their friends, and neither Modine or Jen went to the cops. Report it, and these other families have lost their children, and we don't know what happened to them. So I don't like Matthew Modine's character, and I don't like Jen because they never went to the cops.
I didn't even stop to think about that.
Yeah, so I thought about it when I was watching it too. But it makes sense what I'm saying. So it's like, what the hell happened there? So I wanted Matthew Modine dead too. Kill Mo. That's why it would have been better if Modine was thrown into the dungeons with no eyes and she stayed there, because then it would all make sense.
Yeah. Or they had gotten out and then told about it, and then we have a battle at the end and those guys get away, and then we get the Winnebago scene.
All right, Phil. Phil, I just want to let you know, in 20 years, when you're going out in the mountains looking for your daughter, we're going to remind you of this conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, after. I saved my daughter, I'm going to the cops. And I'm saying they killed all my daughter's friends, even if they were all
cooped. Well, again, we don't know what happened, right? Something had to be said, because five people one is missing and four are dead.
Right.
So something has to be said.
Convenient, unexplained plot point.
Right. Well, because we don't get the chance, right? We just see a sliver of her life. We don't know a couple of weeks later.
But it's an important thing, you would think. I mean,
well, it's not important for how this plays out. It would be important.
I think Eric may be right with everything after the car scene was tagged on, probably after the fact, because usually this movie was perfectly 1 hour and 30 minutes up to that point. And that's what usually horror films are nowadays. So when they added that extra 20 minutes, it doesn't fit with the rest of the film.
Well, and that's an actual fact that was stated by the director. He said he wanted to take it further.
Oh, so he wanted that extra 20 minutes?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, see. Yeah, okay. And that, I think, may have been the point where he...
Yeah, it was a mistake.
Yeah, it was a mistake, yeah.
Yep.
But I also want to point out, if it wasn't for that commentary track, this is the kind of thing where people would watch and say, that was stupid, and they would blame the screenwriter for writing it when the screenwriter wasn't the one who did it. You know, this is why it's always so hard to figure out who to credit.
You know what, though?
Success and problems with.
You know what, though? Again, it could be a contract thing, but the screenwriter, it just says it's written by that one guy. It doesn't say written by Nelson as well, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he actually added it on himself or.
Oh, I think directors and screenwriters collaborate all the time.
Yeah.
Yes. So they could have asked the screenwriter to add that extra 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, right. And there's all sorts of like very weird rules when it comes to screenwriting credits.
Yeah.
And, you know, and who can get it and who can't get it and how much do you have to contribute? And do they get the story by, the written by, inspired by, all of that?
Well, and also you were talking about how people were going to blame the screenwriter. I don't think so. I think we often stop to forget what weirdos we are. We sit around and talk about a movie every single week.
Look, we've only done it 500 times.
I watched well over 50 horror movies, new releases every year, if not closer to 100. So we're talking about how everything's unoriginal and we see everything coming. Yeah, well, that's because we've watched every damn thing. Your normal moviegoer probably hasn't seen as many horror movies as we have. Probably doesn't see as many things coming as we do, and probably doesn't stop to think about the screenwriter.
Well, I think a lot of people will say, I'm not necessarily referring to this specific film. I'm talking in general, and say, oh, it had such a terrible story, or the script was stupid, or the story was stupid. I liked the action, but I didn't like the writing. Well, that's not always the fault of the writer. That was my only point.
Well, and my point is that a lot of people I've spoken to that aren't in our little circle of podcasters don't talk that way. They say, I think the movie was stupid. That's all I'm saying.
I have seen people, but I also will admit I don't know that they were all normal people. I mean, I've also known normal people who think that the actors make up the dialogue in a movie.
Well, and to be fair, I have been kind of stuck in my house for a year, so maybe things have changed. I don't know. I don't talk to anybody anymore.
People do still suck, so that hasn't changed. Yeah, so, but yeah, that's a fair point. We don't know who, that's why, another reason why, Eric, it would be awesome to see the screenwriter get the commentary instead of just the director, because the screenwriter is probably one of the main selling points, not the director, because it's from the original writer of the original. You know, here he is, he's back.
I don't think they market that.
They do in the trailer.
Yeah. Do they really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta, but again, in Hollywood,
what are you doing watching trailers, Phil? You've betrayed me.
I watched it after I saw the film.
Oh, no, actually,
that's not true. I watched it because I was trying to get my wife to watch the film with me. And she said, no, this movie sucks. And I said, damn it. And so she forced me to go in the basement and watch in the basement.
See, like, if you compare...
You put her in the darkness?
Yeah. Darkness.
If you compare a movie to having a baby, the screenwriter is the dad. He makes a donation at the beginning, and then it's completely out of his hands. Whatever happens the rest of the way.
Unless he owns some of the rights to the franchise. I see. He's just a writer and not a producer. You're absolutely right.
Well, you know, I'm sure I've used it. The old joke about, you know, did you hear about the blonde actress who tried to get a job by having sex with the writer? You know, it's just an old dumb blonde joke. I mean, it's just the idea that that's like the last person you tried that has any influence in Hollywood is the writer.
Oh, now I understand the joke.
Have you ever seen the movie Bowfinger?
Yeah, that's a good film.
Yeah, it's available on Hulu now. Or maybe it's no, sorry.
I saw that at the theaters.
Bowfinger now.
I saw that at the theaters. Alan B. McElroy, the writer, he's not one of the producers, so that's a fair point, Mike. Then yeah, he didn't have as much power, and they brought him back because they thought it would be a selling point, and he's probably a decent writer anyway. But yeah, that doesn't mean he produced the film. All right. So anything else anybody wanted to add to this?
No, I think that if there's a wrong turn eight, I don't know if this is I don't know that they go anywhere from this. I don't think there's really a good part two that they can make from this. Unless you're dealing the only part two I would like is to like all out war between the Foundation and that little town. That's what I,
that'd be good.
That
would be kind of good.
Other than that, you know, or do like a Devil's Rejects thing where the cops come or the National Guard come to root them out and you get the battle between them. But otherwise, yeah, I don't see a future for this. And I mean, I'm amazed that Wrong Turn got it all the way up to six films in the first place. You know, it was a fine little horror film. It isn't even remarkable from the standpoint of hillbilly horror. And honestly, when it comes to inbred mutant hillbilly stories, I still think for me my favorite is the episode Home from X-Files. If you've ever seen that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Which is actually fairly notorious. But I mean I don't think it's like as good as say The Hills Have Eyes, either version. It's a fine film. It's a fun film. Don't get me wrong. And I love the second film. It's just a blast, you know, but it's not like a gold standard. It's like this is your definitive thing. It's not even Deliverance.
Well, I see your point. Well, it's you know what it is? It's like Halloween franchise or Friday the 13th franchise, which is, you know, there's one or two really good films and then the rest are just whatever. But they're fun, whatever. And Wrong Turn, not that it's in the same category as those two franchises. The first one is a cult classic, and the others are generally, you know, midnight movie madness,
right,
fun stuff, if you like that stuff, you know?
So, they're an excuse for more mutants.
Yeah, exactly. And you get to see a lot of mutants killing stupid teenagers. You get to see awesome kills, boobs, and whatever you're looking for in a horror film, and that's what
And I'm willing to bet that the next Wrong Turn film, and we know there will be one, is going to go back to the mutants.
Probably.
I think they're closing down the northern path, and they're just going to go south.
Well, you want to see the mutants. I mean, like I said, the first one I've seen, and I only saw like two of the others out of the six, even though I have the six of them, because I just haven't had time to see them. Those other two were still, you know, really good midnight movie fun. You know, like Eric said, you know, I want to see more mutants kill dumb people, and that's what it did good. So I think most people will want to see the mutants kill dumb naked teenagers again, and that's where they're going to go.
Most of the time, the teenagers weren't naked,
and they really weren't teenagers either.
They usually were 20 somethings.
Actually, though, in Wrong Turns two through, I don't know about two, but three through six, I think there's a lot of nudity in them, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't recall; they weren't that memorable.
Yeah, they were memorable just to see the mutants. My favorite mutants.
They were pretty good mutants.
Yeah, they were pretty cool.
No, but I I agree with Mike that there's not really a great place to go from here, but if they want to continue to use the wrong turn name, what do they call the next one? Is it going to be 8 or 7?
I think they drop the name and they drop the number, right? Which we've been doing with franchises for I don't know how long.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
The number. I think is it Batman, right? That just started just doing Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman Robin. Right.
I thought you were suggesting Batman as a name for the next movie. I was like, well, that would be interesting.
You know what? Wrong turn Batman? I'm down with it. You know, I can go for a couple of things. I can go for, like, you know,
all right. Batman having mutants, to rescue. I would watch it.
Yeah, either Batman gets stuck on the mountain, or maybe there's inbred mutants,
right,
animal mutants in the sewers of Gotham.
All right, we should probably start wrapping it up. Now we're going way off the page.
I don't know what.
I think it's going to be wrong. Well, we got Return to the Mutants.
Recording now for 2 hours and 17 minutes. So it's probably time to wrap.
So it's a shorter episode.
So no, this is actually longer. We usually wrap up around 1:58 to 2:05. Okay. All right, so let's go around and give our final thoughts on this. Well, obviously we aren't going to do news or anything like that because we just don't have time. But before we give our final thoughts, Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. I'm also doing a movie commentary podcast called Basement Movie Cast.
All right. Very good. Sounds good. I just wrapped up with Barrett, a podcast called Don't Tell Me, I'll Tell You, the Stan podcast, a weekly episode on, I guess, Paramount Plus's television series, The Stand. So that's all wrapped up. People can check that out.
Just today.
Our last episode, we just wrapped up last week doing the 1994 miniseries where we had a guest host, Sean Fox, joined us because he actually picked that as a Patreon originally. So we brought him on.
Cool.
Yeah, so we talked 2 hours about that miniseries.
I think now that you've watched that again, Phil, you need to go back and reevaluate the latest Stan series.
No.
Maybe you'll have a fresh perspective.
No, yeah, we had that perspective while we did it, and we tried not to talk about it more.
Yeah, I think you need to make sure, though.
Oh, we made sure.
No, but you haven't watched it again. I think you need to really make sure.
Yeah. Also, Barrett, you actually do another podcast with myself and Kevin Lutz.
Yes, the Discovery of Demons, or Discovery of Witches, Demons, Vampires, about the show A Discovery of Witches.
Yep, that's right. It's the most successful show right now on the network, as a matter of fact. There's like 550 people listen to it weekly. It's that crazy. You never know. I'm thinking, like I told Mike, we did a 5-minute episode basically saying that the American Gods podcast is over, and we got like 300 and something people listen to
Maybe
that.
We have 5-minute podcasts from now on.
What it is the TV shows have built in audiences, and people want to hear, you know, versus just a random film, you know. So they get a big audience. Like the Undoing podcast, two of them. Close to 1,000. I was like, holy shit. You know? So
Undoing is
The HBO television series by David Kelly. Yep. So, a 6-part miniseries. Yep, we're doing that. And then Mike, me, you, and Eric are about to start up another podcast again.
Yeah, and that's going to be Cinema a la Carte, where we pick a film that otherwise might not fit comfortably under the Dark Discussions umbrella. Their most recent release was Inside Out, as chosen by Eric. Previously, we had Collateral by Phil, and we had I had picked Forbidden Planet, and we're just kind of doing rotations. And I'm up next, and it's going to be another 80s science fiction classic.
Yeah, that's right. So that's usually a monthly podcast going forward. Once a month, you'll hear a new episode of that. Also, Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews, which is a monthly to twice a month podcast, basically doing random things and stuff, indie films, whatever. So check that out. And then, of course, we have 20 or so to 30 more podcasts by other co-hosts on the Dark Discussions Network. So let's give our final thoughts on this film. So let's start with you, Abe.
So overall, I think this film did some things pretty well. I thought there were some good kills. There was well shot, some good performances, some nice key scenes that really stuck out. That being said, I felt that the characters were underdeveloped, which kind of affects the emotional investment of the audience, which, I mean, depending on who watches it. I felt there was, as we discussed, there's a number of ways this film could have ended, and some ways honestly might have had a better impact, maybe, you know, better, you know, longer lasting staying power with the audience. It's a film with a lot of ups and downs. It's not a bad film. Honestly, it's, you could do worse, you could do better. But if you are a fan of the original Wrong Turn franchise, you're going to this film expecting the same thing, you're not going to get that. This is a film that's going in a very different direction. Keep that in mind. I think as you folks can hear from today's recording, this is a film that is going to be very mixed for a lot of folks. But it's not the worst thing in the world. It's not the best thing in the world. But if you want to check it out for yourselves, it's available. Or if you want to wait till it's on some streaming service that you know you want to pay just to, or rent it, you could do that too. Because honestly, it's a film that you could put on the shelf for a bit before you check it out. But, you know, that's you. Overall, not a bad film. So those are my thoughts.
All right, sounds good. For me, I mean, it was entertaining enough. Wasn't horrendous. I mean, I didn't feel like I was wasting my time. It is probably, in my opinion, throwaway entertainment. Something that you know, won't be necessary to go back to. I would concur with Abe that it's probably better just to wait for it to free pop up on Amazon Prime or Netflix or Hulu or wherever. But if you're, you know, curious, it's no harm spending $5 to $7 to watch it or rent it. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't a big fan. It won't be on my top 20, but, you know, decent. Let's go with you, Eric.
I like this movie. I was very glad to have something other than the usual mutants. I enjoyed the concept of the Foundation. Didn't really care about the characters as much as everybody did. Didn't bother me, that is to say. I thought the ending could have been better, but other than that, I really had a good time with this movie.
All right, very good. All right, let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, I enjoyed the film, and there were things in it that stuck with me. And just getting a horror film that is otherwise a fairly generic horror film and has a lot of traditional tropes that does a couple of different things I like. We've already beaten this to death. It's Wrong Turn. It's not Wrong Turn. If that bothers you, don't watch it. Sorry. If you can let go of that, I think you can have some fun with it. It's not going to be a lot of people's favorite film, but you know, it's a passable time. So if you're looking for something halfway decent, give it a shot.
Bert.
Yeah, I enjoyed this film as well. There are some scenes that really stick out for me that I enjoyed a lot. It's not a perfect film, and it's definitely not the mutants of the original Wrong Turn series. So if you're expecting that, you might not get what you want. But I think it's a decent watch, and it's enjoyable. I've seen much worse. I've seen better. I enjoyed it. It's 2 thumbs up.
All right, very well. Abe pretty much summed it up. It's a mixed bag. Some people will like it a lot. Some people will dislike it, and some people will be somewhere in the middle. So maybe it's worth some others to go and check it out themselves. But either way, it's readily available anywhere VOD is. You can buy it on disc, as Barrett mentioned. It's directed by Mike P. Nelson, written by the original creator of the franchise, Alan B. McElroy, starring mostly unknowns except for Matthew Modine. I think that's pretty much all the information I got there. So with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us up?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Wrong Turn. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me the golden valley. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me a voice was sounding, this land was made for you and me. There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. A sign was painted, it said private property, but on the back side it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, waving, and the dust clouds rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made.